I'm Michelle Franzen. Two Israeli Defense Force officers have been dismissed following an independent report finding grave mistakes that led to the deadly airstrikes in Gaza, killing seven humanitarian aid workers. President Biden in a call yesterday with Israel's prime minister demanding changes to protect civilians and boost aid, and for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to finalize a ceasefire and hostage release deal. ABC's Selena Wang says the president also reached out to Arab leaders.
And today I'm learning that the president has written a letter to the leaders of Egypt and Qatar to urge them to get commitments from Hamas to agree to a deal and to stick to the deal.
A rare earthquake struck in New Jersey, jolting the region today. The 4.8 magnitude quake centered about an hour outside New York City. No major reports of damage, but it was felt as far away as Philadelphia. Employers adding 303,000 jobs in March, better than expected, and a sign the labor market remains robust even with stubborn inflation. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Paid parental leave is coming to the universities of Wisconsin. Full-time employees can get up to 6 weeks off after a child is born or adopted. The Board of Regents reviewed the new policy yesterday. It takes effect July 1st. System President Jay Rothman says it'll keep Wisconsin competitive with other schools. April is Autism Month. More kids in the U.S. are being diagnosed, and plenty of adults, too. Katie Hess is with the Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin. She says she's encouraged by increasing public awareness.
We're learning new information all the time. So certainly reach out to your local chapter, your Autism Society, ask questions.
The Autism Society in Wisconsin is training businesses on how to better serve employees and clients with autism. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. An Ashland woman was killed after being hit with a car while crossing the street on Wednesday. According to the Ashland Police Department, 68-year-old Rose Kozaneski was walking across Ellis Avenue near 7th Street when she was hit by a 66-year-old man. She was taken to a nearby hospital but died from the injuries she sustained in the crash. Authorities say the driver never saw Kozaneski as she was walking across the road diagonally from the median. Drugs or alcohol are not believed to be factors, and no charges were filed. Despite the wet weather that has been rolling through the area this week, St. Louis County officials are reminding residents that wildfires still pose a great danger. In a press conference on Wednesday, officials reminded residents that most of the county is still in a moderate drought and the snow wasn't enough to combat the risk of wildfires this spring. Meteorologists are predicting a warmer-than-usual April could lead to dangerous conditions. Residents should be on the lookout for signs of wildfires starting. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Bucks face the Raptors. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks host the Toronto Raptors tonight. The Bucks with back-to-back losses to the Wizards and Grizzlies. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Both games we had a lot of open threes, a lot of good looks. Did not fall, did not go our way, but just keep on improving our spacing, keep on improving our flow of our offense, keep on guarding better, and just got to keep on building good habits. That's pretty much it.
NFL former Packers offensive line coach Larry Bechtol has died. He served under head coach Mike Sherman and coached players like tackles Mark Tauscher and Chad Clifton. Coach Bechtol was 81. Baseball, the Brewers host the Mariners tonight. Second baseman Bryce Terang on how the crew is doing defensively so far.
Yeah, it's been great. You know, these guys work extremely hard. Some guys are learning positions that they haven't played very much. So to see our defense perform the way it is just showing you how much work we're putting into it and off the field and stuff like that too. So
that's the Brewers' Bryce Terang. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear. Lows upper teens to around 20. Sunshine's back for tomorrow and warmer. High temps into the mid-50s. Then clouds return on Sunday. Some showers developing as well with the wind picking up. Highs pretty close to 50 degrees. Right now, it's 48.
Matt Nair on air.
So we're going to talk monarch butterflies and what we can do to help their habitat, because that's one of the biggest reasons why we're seeing our monarch population decrease. As Greg said, we know how much I loved Winged Thingas.
Winged Thingas! That's the name of our band. Calvin, me, Jane, Winged Thingas.
The Winged Thingas.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Monday on Matt Nair on air. Weather nerds, good news for you. And we have a major announcement. Don't miss it.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning, you're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Friday edition. Thank God. A happy hour, Dom's favorite hour of the week, I suspect. And it always gets better and happier up in here when we are joined by a fine guest live via StreamYard. He is the host of Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Welcome back, Jim.
Hey, Jim. Always good to be with you, especially on a Friday afternoon where in the state of Wisconsin, we have no earthquakes.
All right. Not today. let me start with the crudy butchering of the show title. Since you've rebranded, Jim, is it Amicus or Amicus?
We've been pronouncing it Amicus, although we'll take any comers. It doesn't matter. So whatever you like to call it, as long as you're listening, happy to have you be a part of the show. But I think it's actually Amicus, meaning a friend of the court or someone who explains and provides information would otherwise be out there.
You know, I heard an inferior law pundit on a right-wing talk radio station that got me thinking it was Amicus. And, you know, I'm so confused, I confuse easily. That's why we got you, Jim, so you can help clarify these very important points of law and fact and enunciation. Jim, let's talk about the trial that's probably not going to happen anytime soon, but has me intrigued. Eileen Cannon, West Palm Beach, the federal judge appointed by Trump, has the, I used to call it the paperwork crimes, the classified documents, the top secret documents that Trump hoarded at his Mar-a-Lago home, didn't respond when, you know, the National Archives, others asked for these documents. And now there's this strange ruling, this wanting to have it both way ruling, where Trump claims through the PRA, I forget what that stands for, but effectively
Presidential Records Act, yes.
That he has the right, although he didn't take any steps, apparently, to actually establish this, but he has the right to declare them all his records. And he wants Judge Cannon to effectively throw out the case for this reason. And she said, I'll punt. And by doing so, she leaves the prosecutor, the special counsel, Jack Smith, in this no man's land, because if she effectively did this, he's not going, the prosecution has no right of appeal. It would be a double jeopardy circumstance. So, Jim, is this finally clearing the threshold of seeking a recusal or a replacement of this judge from the 11th Circuit. Tell me, now's the time, please.
Here we go, right? I think it's getting awfully close. You know that Jack Smith, the special counsel, has been pulling out his hair in this case ever since it's begun. We still have national security issues to address, and those are the things that she should be focusing on right now. This comes about because she's focusing at a time when we don't even have a trial yet on jury instructions. That's the kind of thing that you work on maybe the week before the trial, even during the trial itself. And along the way, she says, you know, I'd like you to craft some jury instructions that suggests that I tell the jury that under this Presidential Records Act, there is a defense based upon a claim to personal possession, personal ownership of these documents. And Jack Smith, again, responds appropriately, very badly. He says, what? That's completely ridiculous. And he gives her a sort of a chance to pull it back. And again, she issues this order yesterday in which, as you said, Mike, she kind of has it both ways. She says, yeah, I'm not going to grant the motion to dismiss, but I'm going to sort of hold this in abeyance because it may be that during the course of trial or even before trial, maybe the issue will come up again. Maybe Donald Trump could come up with some facts that would justify my going down this road. It is a mess with a capital M. And I think to your point, coming very, very close to Jack Smith doing one of three things, you could file a motion in limine, which doesn't get you a whole lot because you do that right before the trial and it's probably too late then. He could file a motion to ask her to recuse herself. Unlikely she's going to do that. I think he is right now very seriously considering, I think there are memorandums going around inside Maine Justice, considering the possibility of taking this up on an interlocutory basis to the 11th Circuit once again, which, as we know, has previously slapped her down definitively at the time of that crazy civil challenge to the investigation. I think he's going there now because he's almost had enough. And again, when he writes back and says that your fundamentally flawed legal premise is very clearly on display here, you're just plain wrong. And she then sends back in her order, says, no, I'm just trying to manage this case well, and you're the one who's acting unjustly and without precedent. So you've got this sparring going on. The prejudice, the bias continues to drip from her behavior. And I think at some point, Jack Smith can put together a compelling argument to the 11th Circuit that she should be removed from the case.
Jim, as a legal expert, do you perceive this as bias or perhaps judicial incompetence? I mean, this woman never dealt with a classified records case before. She's barely qualified for the bench. Her only prior quality, apparently, is membership in the Federalist Society. So, Jim, incompetence or partisanship? And I know you're a generous guy, but lean on the hammer, buddy.
Right. And, you know, incompetence only goes so far because the reality is that even if again, I don't study the Presidential Records Act on a daily basis. I know Dom does. But you know, it doesn't take you much. This theory is completely frivolous, just like the immunity issue is frivolous, just like the First Amendment. All this is frivolous. You just have to crack the book to what, page one or two, to find out that there's no there. So the incompetence argument only goes so far. And I think then you are left with this notion that, gosh, maybe she's carrying water for somebody or some group of people. And that's when it gets very troubling. And again, I do think that even it's difficult to charge a sitting judge and say you're just stupid and you're as Jack Smith is coming very close to saying, but to say you put together this compelling set of arguments about all these things she has done to slow walk the case. And I think you can make a growing, not just circumstantial case, but a fairly direct case that this is a product of some bias, that she doesn't like this case. And you go back to the civil case in which she basically all but stopped the criminal investigation from going forward. 11th Circuit had to tell her she's wrong. You begin with that and you march on through just yesterday. I think you can make a claim that she is biased and that it will have an impact upon the substance of this prosecution. This is not just a ruling on some hearsay issue or some documentary issue. This goes to the core. And if she does, in fact, instruct the jury that the PRA permits them to find that Donald Trump has personal possession of these documents, case is over. And again, no double jeopardy prevents a re-prosecution of it. And this is done. So it's a big deal. And I think you can, in fact, put together that bias case and make it fairly compelling. He has been patient. I would also say he has been generous in his time in dealing with this. I think that, that there is now today very serious consideration to what's next.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That's James Santel, host of Amicus, a Law Review. You can find him on Saturdays, 8 to 11 on the Civic Media Network. Happy Friday, Jim. Always love it when you come around. The Eileen Cannon response to Jack Smith was kind of a half move, as you mentioned, right? She kind of wants it both ways. Couldn't Jack Smith, even though she kind of gave him what he wanted in some degree but didn't in others, could he appeal that particular ruling without even going to the point of trying to get her removed? And if so, what's the time frame for something like that?
Right. You could, again, the difficulty, again, I don't want to say there's craftiness in this, but the issue is just that she's just made this murky enough and mucky enough that you've got to be able to identify a truly unfavorable opinion directed toward you. And again, on the docket sheet, it will show that yesterday she denied the motion to dismiss. And then she adds all this dicta, if you will, all this other stuff. And it makes it more difficult to identify just a direct appeal on the merits of that and say that I've lost and I need you, Court of Appeals, to intervene. I suspect the Court of Appeals on this record right now would not do so. He plainly could make the petition at any time he wants to. Again, since we don't have a trial date here at all, maybe 2025, it could do it any time. I just don't know that on this particular disposition, there's a very clearly disadvantageous ruling that he could appeal from, tell the Court of Appeals, I lost. Because in fact, on the surface, he won.
Jim, the Presidential Records Act, to my understanding, it's a civil issue, and the Espionage Act is a criminal statute, right? So is there a circumstance, I guess I'm not clear on how this would work, could a president declassify very top secret specific national secret information and claim that they are his and walk out with them? I mean, is that his position, right?
It is. And again, it underscores what we're doing now in America, which is we're litigating in the courts the notion, the contest about whether or not the sun rises in the east. What you've just articulated, Dom, is sort of what they're stating. And we're having hearings about this and we're filing memorandums about this. It is ridiculous. And the combination of these two, high marks for these attorneys to come up with these theories. There's no there. And that's the problem with all this. And we're elevating all this craziness. This, the immunity issue, which is pending before the Supreme Court, and the issue being about the First Amendment that Scott McAfee yesterday also smacks down. These are just completely unfounded theories, and we're giving them all this attention, appropriately because you've got to. But there's no there, and we're not getting to more meaningful things, which is schedule a trial, get the discovery done, and let's go.
Well, Jim, we do have a trial scheduled. It's for a week from Monday.
Judge must recuse.
Keeps throwing things out there. A new effort, another effort to get that judge to recuse. I want to get into some of the weeds on that, get your thoughts. The judge's daughter, you know, she's in politics. You know, she works, or her consulting firm works for a very prominent Democrat. I mean, even their filings are offensive, Jim. But I want to get into that case and the others. James Santel, our friend, former U.S. attorney. Stick around, more with Jim on the other side.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
A fourth-generation family-owned business is running strong thanks in part to Wisconsin cheese. Dufek Wood Products calls Denmark home and has been based in Northeast Wisconsin for close to 120 years. It's best known for manufacturing boxes, which are food-safe to age and ship wheels of cheese and can be reused. But another Dufek Wood product is getting attention thanks to the Guinness Book of World Records. Do you think it's the family's wine boxes, organic garden mulch, or charcuterie boards? The answer coming up. Winter logging for summer building supplies is how the Dufix started. Manufacturing shifted by 1912 to other wood products, especially those cheese boxes. So did you guess which wood product is getting attention from the Guinness Book of World Records? It's the Dufix charcuterie boards, with one recently named the largest ever, holding more than 760 pounds of gourmet cheese. That's one huge slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, sticking around for at least another segment. Thank you, Jim. As mentioned before the break, Trump mounts a new push to recuse Judge in the hush money case. This is a week from Monday. He's still throwing the spaghetti against the wall. Here's what his attorney said, Jim. Quote, personal political views may not be a basis for recusal, but profiting from the promotion of a political agenda that is hostile to President Trump and has included fundraising solicitations based on this case must be. Accordingly, President Trump respectfully requests that the court recuse itself. Jim, the judge isn't profiting anything on this. Now, his daughter may be in, you know, the political business, but what's that got to do with the judge?
The answer is nothing, and that should be the response. My guess is that Juan Merchan, who's again grown weary of these attempts to forestall the coming trial here, is going to hopefully is going to resolve this and respond to this in just that sort of a summary fashion. You've got it just right. This is once again maybe gets high marks for taking a page from the attorneys for Donald Trump in the Georgia case, who maintain that somehow Fannie Willis had a conflict of interest by virtue of having a personal relationship inside her office. What is the connection? What can you show me that shows that there's either some bias here, conflict of interest, something other? There just is nothing here. It's a nice try, and it certainly sounds convoluted enough to suggest maybe to some people that, gosh, there must be some there, and to people who don't understand these kinds of things, unlike your listeners who do get it on a regular basis.
It's nice to be reassured. I'm telling you, Jim, I'm feeling better as I hear you say no reason to recuse, but please continue, sir.
Absolutely. No reason to do that. And she is an adult. She's got her own life. We know that there are Supreme Court justices, one or if not two in particular, who have wives who also do things out there in the public domain. And there you've got plainly some conflicts of interest, for at least one of them. This is not going anywhere. The judge will deny this one, as he did just recently, the immunity petition once again, saying there's immunity. That one he dismisses on the basis you're just out of luck in terms of time. He says, well, you've had a year, and now all of a sudden I'm hearing this motion to dismiss on immunity grounds. No, I'm not going down that road. He, especially after this last more than kerfuffle about the documents and discovery, he is now committed to going ahead with this trial in a week from Monday. I won't say with absolute certainty that it will go. We'll wait to see all of us when the jurors raise their hand and say, yes, we're jurors in this matter. We're properly impaneled and jeopardy attaches. But the judge is not going to tolerate any of this. He's also issued this order directing Donald Trump not to say things that he shouldn't be saying. I don't call it a gag order because nobody is being gagged here at all, but others do. He's doing all this right. He's creating a good record. And the biggest issue then is what the jury is going to do with his case. That's the thing we should be focusing on. Look, we've got, you know, some witnesses here who are not exactly the prime witnesses you'd normally want. There are Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen. And we've got some legal theories here that are a little bit difficult to handle. But all of this is a sideshow, and it should go nowhere on the docket of Juan Merchan.
James Santel, our fine guest, the host of Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel, our fine guest. Jim, if you were a betting man, is this one going forward? Tell me, please, God, tell me you think that this trial is going forward, because Daddy needs this in his life. You know what I'm saying, Jim? I need a reason to go on living some days.
Right. I will say I think, and that's not exactly the affirmative answer, dispositive answer that you want. just because, again, the judge has come to the end of his rope, and there's really very little. We're going to get more motions next week, undeniably. Other things are going to happen. He's got to keep denying these motions and got to go forward on this. He's got a good record on this. I believe that it will, but I always say that wait until the morning that that jury is impaneled, and then we will talk. Anything can happen. Normally in a criminal case, the thing that happens is the defendant realizes it's going ahead and pleads guilty to something. There's some negotiation happening in the weekend right before. That is plainly not going to happen. Donald Trump is not pleading to anything, including even an offer of a misdemeanor of some kind, which is kind of where this case is right now. There are some other challenges.
Why not? Jim, I mean, it would be a concession, but why not plead out if it doesn't involve any jail time? And Trump's biggest liability here may be, and I think, you know, criminal prosecution, but it also takes him off the campaign trail for months. I mean, I know this guy plans to campaign from the courthouse, but that's not the same. So if Bragg offered him a couple of misdemeanors and a slap on the wrist, I mean, I'd have to strongly consider it. Well, best time to get in New York. He could explain that one away to his followers, Jim.
Right.
He don't care anyway.
Right. He certainly would. He described it as an ordinance violation. It's a little misdemeanor. And he would describe it as Alvin Bragg conceding that the case is no good. And obviously could package it that way. Stays out of jail. Does have those advantages. You never know. There may be some of those discussions underway. We will not see those in the public domain. We may find out about them years down the road. Alvin Bragg probably has something, not an absolute obligation, but at least to reach out to make an offer if he feels that that's appropriate to do. Recognize, too, that there is, as I've indicated, a little bit of an exposure here. Remember that this case is also premised upon a little bit of a novel theory here. He's bootstrapping some misdemeanors into felonies based upon proof of some other offense conduct. Typically, presumably it's going to be about the election interference, but there's kind of a legal hurdle to address here. It's not so much a jury question. The judge will probably adopt it and embrace it, but it raises a bit of an appellate issue if, in fact, there's a conviction. And then, as we have talked before, the larger issue here, which Alvin Bragg's got to realize, is he is not putting up bankers and radio hosts and other reputable people up on the stand. He has got a convicted felon. He's got a porn star, and he's got corroboration for that. But still, those are the principal witnesses, the key witnesses here. He also may have Hope Hicks. Have you seen this? That she is on the witness list as well. Now, she's not in that category. Hope-y. Right? And so he's got to describe this as, these are not my witnesses or Donald Trump's witnesses. Sometimes juries have difficulty convicting somebody else based upon the testimony of people who themselves have that kind of baggage going in. So this case is not without some exposure. And who knows what the jury does with it?
I mean, it's like any gangster thing, man. You got some gangsters roll over on the big guy, and then, you know, they got to testify. I mean, this is not uncommon. And Stormy Daniels did zero wrong. I mean, some people may not like her profession, but she's nothing wrong. Right. David Pecker, I'm wondering, is he the guy? Is he going to come in as well? He was one that, you know, helped facilitate these deals through the magazine, right?
The National Enquirer. Yeah, he did the catch and kill.
Alan Weisselberg was also there, right? I mean, he's sitting in jail right now, isn't he? Yeah, because they drag him in and put a suit and tie on him. He's the CFO of the Trump Organization. He was involved. Can he also not provide some testimony on this?
Right, and you've got corroboration even among those people who otherwise have baggage out there. And once again, you say that even people who have lied in the past do not lie 24 hours a day, and they've got corroboration to support what they're telling the truth now, in this time, in this moment. That's the argument Alvin Bragg makes.
Prosecutor, my understanding is jury's not very sympathetic to a defendant who chooses not to show up in court when they're stuck with jury duty. Do you think Trump will be there, defend on Trump?
He's obliged to be. This is a criminal case. He's obliged to be there. Unlike the civil cases where he was coming and going at will as he liked things or disliked things, here he's obliged to be there. And so he's got to be, as you said, Mike, he's going to be off the campaign trail for as long as this takes.
Greatest gift ever, Trump on the stand. Will it happen, Counselor?
I think it may. It may. He may not be able to resist the temptation, but that's one where if I were his attorney, I would say absolutely not. And that's the reason why I'm stammering here somewhat. Will he abide by his counsel's own good advice?
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Tune in Saturday mornings on the Civic Media. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
Friday on Nightlight, I welcome Kirk Bangstad, Ed Anderson, Amir Kakarovs, and Terry Barr. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Leaders of Northland College in Ashland will keep trying to stay in business. A 24-day emergency campaign raised about $1.5 million from 900 donors, but that's far short of its $12 million goal. Trustees will meet again in 2 weeks. Tax Day is the 15th. The IRS is trying out a free tax filing service in some states. Terry Ollie is a consumer advocate. She says the software connects lower-income filers to the earned income and child tax credits.
Folks who don't file are disproportionately Black, Latino, Indigenous, headed by a single parent. Those are the households that often stand to benefit from thousands of dollars in tax credits.
Wisconsin is not one of the 12 states in the pilot program this year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Earlier this week, Northland College passed the self-imposed fundraising deadline for the $12 million it needed to remain open. However, on Thursday, instead of announcing that the college would close, officials announced that the school would declare financial exigency. The college managed to raise about $1.5 million in nearly a month of fundraising and has decided to give itself 2 more weeks to solve its financial problems. Officials will once again review their budget options and try to bring in more donations. The Duluth Salvation Army has announced a new fundraising event scheduled in May. According to a Fox 21 report, the Black and White Ball will replace the organization's usual civic luncheon, which is held in November. Officials say they wanted to change things up and make the fundraiser a little more fun, giving residents a chance to dress up and interact with other potential sponsors. The Black and White Ball is scheduled for May 16th during Salvation Army Week, and the organization is still looking for more sponsors. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you. I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then, someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Ellen DeGeneres is launching a stand-up comedy tour, her first since 2018. The Ellen DeGeneres Show aired for the last time in 2022, not long after DeGeneres came under fire for mistreating staff. The 66-year-old comedian will start with 4 West Coast cities with more TBA. If you don't feel like braving the crowds, check out her stand-up specials on Netflix and HBO. If you attend this year's Wisconsin Film Festival, one of the can't-miss attractions will be an appearance by Oscar-winning director Alexander Payne on closing night. Payne's most recent effort, The Holdovers, was nominated for Best Picture at this year's Oscars. Payne will be at the 20th anniversary screening of his film Sideways and take part in a discussion afterwards. Sideways will be the last film screened at this year's festival at the Barrymore Theater on April 11th. A can't miss for film fans. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear. Lows upper teens to around 20. Sunshine's back for tomorrow and warmer. High temps into the mid-50s. Then clouds return on Sunday. Some showers developing as well with the wind picking up. Highs pretty close to 50 degrees. Right now, it's 48.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Evan Goyke, candidate for the City of Milwaukee City Attorney's Office. Evan, you and I were texting yesterday because with every campaign that I've ever known someone that's running, there is always what I'm going to call the yard sign controversy.
It's true that yard signs don't vote.
Yes.
But there is deep, deep psychological warfare of right. Yard signs.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday Happier Happy Hour, rolling through it. Thanks to our last fine guest, James Santel, former U.S. attorney and the host of Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings, get up about 8 o'clock in the morning. You get the Empowered Caregiver on the Civic Media Network. And then the newly rebranded law review with Jim Santel, Amicus. Better, apparently, than the morning cannolis, which confuse people with, you know, is that plural or singular? Because I want a cannoli.
I don't know. I'm getting hungry just thinking about it.
Dom, we've thanks, got Jim. Some.
Always a great talk. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Dom, we've got some relatively breaking news about the president and his visit to my hometown on Monday. I suspect he's coming to campus, Dom, because here is the headline. Biden to announce new student loan forgiveness program during Monday visit. This apparently to time up with the Supreme Court ruling that killed one of his prior efforts to forgive student loan, but here's how it's being reported. President Joe Biden is expected to announce a new student loan forgiveness program when he visits Madison on Monday. Hope to be in the room, Dom. The announcement will come nearly a year after the U.S. Supreme Court knocked down Biden's first attempt to cancel borrower's debt. Now, conservatives on the court said the $400 billion program needed congressional approval. It would have canceled up to $10,000 in federal student loan debt for borrowers earning less than $125K per year. And Biden immediately vowed to come up with a new program, the broad confines of which could affect millions of borrowers and are expected to be unveiled at his Wisconsin stop next week. The Wall Street Journal reported the news. Why is he going to a Rupert Murdoch brag? He could have come to the Devil's Advocates. We'd have broken it for you, Joe. So the U.S. Education Department has spent the past year seeking feedback and holding hearings as part of the rulemaking process. The new program, Dom, will rely on different law, the Higher Education Act, which Biden's officials said will bolster the program's legal standing. In other words, if at first you don't succeed, find a different law and try again. The Associated Press reported Biden's latest attempt at cancellation will be smaller and targeted towards five types of borrowers. Those who may be eligible to get some or all of their federal loans canceled include borrowers whose unpaid interest has grown beyond the size of the original loan. I used to be in that quandary. People who have enrolled in for-profit college programs deemed low value. The University of Phoenix, I'm looking at you, but no, I continue. Borrowers considered highly likely to be in default within 2 years. Well, that could be any one of us. Undergraduates who have been in repayment for at least 20 years. It took me about 15 to pay mine off, Dom. And borrowers who are eligible for other types of loan forgiveness but have not yet applied. Now, Biden has launched other loan relief programs. His SAVE, S-A-V-E plan, has saved nearly 2,000 Wisconsin borrowers $13.8 million, officials announced in late February. And student loan relief is a top issue for younger voters. Remember when Scott Ross was at One Wisconsin Now? Mm-hmm. He used to hammer this issue.
Yes,
student
yes.
loans, student loans.
Long time.
Yep. Wisconsin's 700,600 borrowers hold $21.4 billion in federal student loan debt, according to the latest education data. And earlier this month, the UW Board of Regents voted to raise state undergraduate tuition for the next school year 3.75%. Down by the fall, I'll have two in college.
Right, congratulations. That's not cheap.
No. Just cleaned up a tuition bill today. Hurt. Oh, damn, did that hurt.
I know, man.
967-2789. You know, fortunately, here's the good news. Unlike when I was in college, I actually had the money to pay the tuition bill. I'd be on a corner working right now if I had to make that payment in college. I'd have to be an industrious young man, if you know what I'm saying, Dom.
I was an industrious young man. I put my student loan money to hard work.
844-967-2789. Is that what you call it?
Uh-huh. Investing.
Cam from Nina. Welcome, Cam. Hey, buddy, you got student loan debt?
Hey, Cam.
No, I dropped out of college partially through it because I don't know. I went for IT, and man, I was sitting there in my art class that I was required to take, and I was like, what am I doing? And I just left. I left, and then they put me on probation, and I was like, okay, I'm still not coming back, though.
Well, Cam, I didn't mean to set the topic. It's Friday. You get to air your grievance. What is it?
No, that's okay. Mine's pretty unrelated to most everything else that's been talked about today, but essentially, I guess I walked outside this morning, took my dog to go to the bathroom, and I turned around and I looked at the door and to go back inside, and I saw a note taped to it from the landlord telling me he is not renewing my lease because I know he's upset about the ESAs.
And where are ESAs, Cam? What are you talking about?
Emotional support animals. And I understand some people don't really believe that those are a thing or not. But when it's my personal doctor telling me, do this, or you should do this, I'm going to listen to them and not my landlord, you know. But it reminded me about how much I believe that being a landlord is not a real job. I can't get the guy to come do anything. He locked in hornets into our home without even telling us. And
is he a private landlord, no property manager between you and the landlord, Cam?
Yes.
Let me ask you this, and I realize it's a drag to move, but once upon a time in a former career, I dealt with tenant law and tenants. And I'm not trying to get you in a legal bind here, but you may want to consult. At least check with like the free legal hotlines. I mean, you may have the right to have a doctor certified emotional support pet. That may legally give you a carve out. And I realize the landlord is under no obligation to renew your lease. But if the guy won't fix the place, Cam, I mean, it might be time to start looking around anyways. And I realize it's a tough housing market out there, and I don't envy your circumstance. But, you know, no one needs to marry a bad landlord, man, and, you know, enrich him and pay his mortgage and taxes. And he gets all the benefit of appreciation and tax write-offs. And, you know, you get locked in with hornets, Cam. It's not quite a fair trade some days.
That is fair.
So if it's worth trying to stay, I would approach the man and I'd try to be reasonable and say, you know, probably have some legal protections. And under Wisconsin rental law, any damage done by a pet, so if your emotional support animal wrecks something, Cam, you have every legal responsibility. Every time. And it comes immediately out of your security deposit. And sometimes it's hard to withhold security deposits under rental law. But this would be a no-brainer. So your landlord has more protections against your emotional support animal than if you had kids. Because if your kids wrecked the place, man, I mean, good luck. You're hauling a guy in a small claims court and you're fighting about paint jobs and bids and stuff. Cam, I'm telling you, your landlord's got more protection against your dog than somebody else's kids.
I agree with that, and I know that, but he hasn't said the reason why, and they haven't, the dog hasn't destroyed or damaged anything in the home, period. He hasn't said why he's not renewing it with us. But
maybe invite him over. Why. I mean, you know, if the answer's still no, the answer's still no, but Cam, maybe he has a fear or he's projected upon your unit that it's been damaged or scuttled or somehow messed because of the dog. Cam, invite the landlord over, clean and good. No dishes in the sink, but invite him over for a inspection and see if you can talk to the guy like a human being. Because most people, once they get to know you, once they're sitting across the table from you, most people act like human beings. I mean, hell, CJ, If you sit him down and you buy him a beer, we'll act like a human being in small doses. You know, it's the rest of us that struggle with the human compassion, you know, at least with CJ. Cam, good luck to you, man. That sucks. 844-967-2789.
Moving sucks, Cam. I just did it, man. It's not something you want to do often.
Let's try Dan from Madison. Dan, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. Well, I got in my car, and I heard you guys talking student loans, and I figured I'd share my grievance.
Yeah, right. Let's hear it. Friday grievances, man. I suspect it's a bad story, but please tell it, Dan.
Well, so I'm a teacher, you know, did the student loans under the promise that you you serve your time in public education and a school in need, and, you know, your loans would be forgiven after X number of years. Well, I, like a fiscally wise idiot, refinanced my student loans, and they do not qualify.
So the new...
So even though I refinanced them at a lower interest rate, they no longer qualify.
So you've done your 10 years, 20 years, whatever, the equivalent of AmeriCorps
now, yeah.
Serving in a school district with the promise of student loan reimbursement at the end or offset, and because you refinanced...
Okay, you're supposed to zero them out, yeah, after your time served, you're supposed to zero them out.
Here's what I would say, Dan, it's an interesting source. And sorry, your phone's a little bit loud, so I'm gonna set you on hold. But go to John Oliver this week tonight. He went through the student loan forgiveness process. And, you know, people that are in this program, Dan, nationally, and specifically he focused on people like you that had, you know, not just tried to write off their student loans or been the beneficiary of a Joe Biden program. I'm not saying that's not a noble thing. You know, don't crap on Crudy here. But those that specifically signed up to work in a high-risk school or to serve their community or do something more like I did. I joined the Army. You know what, Dan? I never got my student loan reimbursement from the U.S. military. I did all my time, never got the money. So I certainly am sympathetic. And I would say this might not be the case for a congressperson, but I might call my congressman and I might say, can you assist me? Because when John Oliver laid this out, there were like 2 million eligible people in the nation for this program, and less than 100 had ever achieved the reimbursement from the federal government. Out of 2 million people that entered the program, less than 100 ever got the promised reimbursement.
Now, Crudy, on your circumstance, though, What did you do to not get reimbursed? It wasn't just on their side, was it?
I was in the Army. Attached to an NCO training academy at Sparta, Wisconsin. And they were not highly motivated to process my paperwork and seek my student loan reimbursement. Mine was only eligible. And, you know, I only had like $10,000 in student loans, which turned into like $16,000 with interest before I started paying them. But they would have paid off, I think, half, like $5,000-$8,000, something like that. That was the deal I made with the military. I joined as a reservist. I joined in a time of war. I did not get a signing bonus. This was the only upside other than, you know, the modest paycheck they give you for being a grunt. And I did my training. I did not get sent to war. As you know, I got sent back to college. My platoon, my group, were still assigned. They didn't get shipped overseas, so I got shipped back to the Sparta, to the Fort McCoy, the NCO training academy. Well, I did my reservist duty for like a year, and I sucked at being a college kid Army guy. I mean, as a soldier, I was pretty squared away. As a college kid, I was something of a drunk. And the two don't go so well together when guard starts at like 6 o'clock in the morning, but I'm dragging my ass out of bed, driving out to Sparta from La Crosse in a crappy car that probably didn't have license and LAF on the back. I did it for a year. I got sick of it, man. I never got my reimbursement, and I went on inactive ready reserve, and thank God we didn't have a war for the next 6 years. And I basically served the rest of my time in a we'll call you if we need you mode. Never got my money. Never got my money. Uncle Sam, I want my money.
You never got the money?
Well, I certainly stopped pursuing it, and I was just happy they stop wanting me to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning on a hangover and show up for guard, man. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. You know, it's 5:50 in the afternoon, not quite happy hour. It's a happier happy hour. You're going to be a part. 844-96-PARTY.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for matinee on air.
With Progressive's Home Quote Explorer, you can check if you're paying too much for home insurance, because giving you options is the right thing to do.
Oh, you mean like when I let someone with less groceries go ahead in line? Sure, there's a part of me that thinks, if you only need three things, maybe go to a convenience store next time. And now they're sifting through coupons and my frozen foods are about to be not frozen.
But still, it's the right thing to do. So compare rates with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Well, hi there. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WBZH. It's not just for farmers. It's for anybody that loves food. Tune in 5 a.m. on the Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. Hayward.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocate.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now on the lines, 844-967-2789.
Tom, I got some good news. We don't always get good news, but it is Friday. It's sunny out, and I'm looking forward to painting the Jordan Love boat in the garage with the heater on. Don't worry about me, painter friends.
The heater on. Great. Isn't this stuff flammable, man?
I'm not clear. I'll vent the room. I'm not going to use a gas heater. I'll use like an electric. Dom, the jobs report today, overperforming jobs report, 50% higher than expectations. My understanding is the street, Wall Street, they're so bright, expecting about 205,000 new hires. 303,000 jobs reported today, Dom. Increasing wages, increasing labor participation rates, falling unemployment. Good news. You know, we heard that in the market polling yesterday from Charles Franklin. Only 17% of Wisconsinites thought, or I guess that was national polling, so it's not just Wisconsinites, but only 17% perceived the good news of Joe Biden. Well, there's more good news. And I perceive also this other headline, Dom. I found it, the raw story is good news. You know, they want to rename an airport for Donald Trump. And we try to be clever. We try to get your participation. Some of you had some great ideas. A few even messaged me after the show, you know, thought it important that I know your snarky takes. But here's what the House Dems have decided to do, Dom. They've introduced a law to name the Miami prison after Donald Trump. Yeah. Now that's just down the road from West Palm Beach where Mar-a-Lago's at, Dom. So that's quite nice. It's right in the neighborhood. Some House Democrats proved willing this week to honor former President Trump's legacy with an official dedication of a government building in his name, a Florida federal prison. Perhaps he could serve his time there, Dom. Reps Jerry Connolly, Dem from Virginia, and Jared Moskowitz, Democrat from Florida, on Friday will introduce legislation to rename Federal Corrections Institution Miami, where Trump's former advisor Peter Navarro is currently incarcerated. A nice tip of the cap. As the Donald J. Trump Federal Correctional Institution, according to CBS News congressional correspondent Scott McFarlane, news of the legislation arrived just days after the House GOP unveiled a proposal to rename Washington, D.C.'s Dulles International Airport after Donald Trump. My favorite suggestion, Dullard.
Dullard.
So name a prison after the man. It probably won't become law, Dom, but I like how they think. 844-967-2789. Our pal, Wisco Paul, it's Friday, man. Spot a cow time yet, Paul?
Hey, Paulie.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy Friday to you, gentlemen. As you know, I lean Democrat, mostly because of my union ties, so it's great news on the Biden front there. My grievance would be against the GOP and buying into the Trump doctrine here. It's I don't understand it for the life of me, so that's my grievance. And on the last thing, it's going to be an interesting summer for you boys in Milwaukee. I don't know where that's headed, but it'll be fun for you guys. So with that,
well, the DNC,
have a great weekend.
Wisco Paul, just for sake of contemplation, the RNC walkthrough at the Pfizer Forum Monday morning. I will be in Madison seeking to attend the Joe Biden event. He's going to apparently forgive some student loan debt or make a proposition thereof. Dom, I bet he's pretty close to me on State Street. I bet he's on the UW-Madison campus.
It'd be a great spot to go.
Bascom Hill, like Obama did it?
I don't think it'll be as crowded as it was on Bascom Hill with Obama, man.
35,000 plus on the hill. That was a rock star concert.
844-967-2789. Dick from Madison, you will have the last word today. Welcome, Dick. What do you got?
Well, you know, I talked to James Santel about a week ago or 2 weeks ago on the air on the weekend and said, you know how all this goes away and the Democrats fumble the ball / the civil rights movement?
How, Dick? How are we going to blow it this time?
The Electoral College. If we had that out of here, we wouldn't even be talking about this, man. And it's nuts that we're talking about him.
But we do, I mean, Dick.
He lost by 7 million votes and 3 million votes to Hillary Clinton.
Republicans almost always lose the popular vote. I mean, most of their support is in rural states, and nobody's going to get on board to to take the power away from their own state. Do you think a state like Nebraska, you see, they're trying to change their electoral college.
Hold it.
What? Because I was going somewhere, but please tell me where I should go.
They started 50 years ago with Roe v. Wade. Why didn't we do this 60 years ago when the, you know, civil rights movement was in its infancy? And it was, I mean, this is ridiculous that we're speaking about it.
Well, Dick, there are some things I think right now. Of course, the Democrats have 20/20 hindsight, don't we all? I mean, could I go back and change things? Should the Democrats have run on Obamacare in 2010 instead of running away from it? Might they have held some legislative seats and we wouldn't have seen the reign of Scott Walker here in the state of Wisconsin? Yeah, a lot of things could be different, Dick. But it's Friday. It seems a little too deep for me.
Oh, man, let me just throw this one out there. A final thought for you folks out there. If you decided
then Dom's taking the final thought today.
$100,000 of your savings account into Trump Media because your favorite president says it's a highly successful company. Well, if you bought in during last week's IPO at the peak price of $79.38, your $100,000 nest egg was worth only $57,000 this week when the stock hit a new low of $45.26.
What if you own 57.4% of the outstanding stock, Dom? Then your net worth has fallen by over a couple $1 billion on paper.
And the stock closed today below $41. So you lost even a little bit more. So good luck with all that. Can't make it back on volume.
You know, I read how some investors did the old pump and dump method. Get in early and get out early. Let them ride it up. Dump your stock and let the suckers hold the bag. That's what Trump always does. Thank you to our fine guests today. They included Pat Kreitlow from the Up North News. Don't forget to tune him in 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays, especially in western Wisconsin. And also Amicus, a legal review, a law review with Jim Santel. Tune in Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Network. Have a great weekend. Crudy coming from Joe Biden. Dom joins at 3 on Monday. Hope you're with us.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey,
everybody. Todd Alball, Monday, noon to 2. President Biden is in Wisconsin, and we'll have it for you right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The Biden administration says it welcomes Israel's plans to increase humanitarian aid.